Just a great privilege to be here, and particularly good to be here on your birthday, and to praise God for the way in which, since I was last here, those many years ago, that Joth has been your pastor and I know has blessed the ministry here, and together you've seen great things happen, which is just so exciting. I want to talk about words for a moment. We use thousands of words every day, don't we? But not all words have the same power. Some words, when spoken, redefine life. Big words. For example, when somebody says to you, I love you. I love you. I love you. That redefines things. Something's happened. Maybe your spouse, it may be your parents, it may be your children, it may be a friend. Suddenly everything looks somewhat different. I love you. I was thinking back to the first time I had a young lady say this to me. It's a couple of weeks ago now. No, I was a teenager. Her name was Carol, and I know how these stories go, but it was because you're supposed to then say, and she is now my wife. Actually, I haven't a clue where she is now, and she's certainly not my wife. I've heard from her for 40 years. But I do remember that moment. I do remember everything looking a bit different. Somebody voluntarily, apparently, was saying that they loved me. But what's interesting about human love is that certainly that love didn't last, and human love can never last completely. It's bounded by space and time. There are always limits to it. Today we celebrate the fact, and thank you so much for the way in which you've crafted the service. We celebrated God's love. And when we hear God say, I love you, we're hearing words that are not bounded by space and time. We're hearing God make a commitment to us, which is forever. I love you. And the passion that's behind me today, having heard what you've heard about my concern for people with learning disability, but my concern for people with every kind of disability, it is that they and everyone may hear those words of God. I love you. Because when you hear those words, everything looks different. And that's the word that we're celebrating this morning. We heard, thank you for the reading from 1 John 4. And brilliant, the reading at the beginning. If you want to see that reading again, it's very easy to find. If you just Google Prospects 1 John 4, you'll have it. It's really just those few words. Do look at it again. Thousands of people have already viewed it and the other readings that we have created. And it's just been a wonderful way of saying these words are for everyone, whether you struggle to speak or not. And you probably spotted in that video at the beginning of the service, two of the people there had no words. They're nonverbal. But God loves everyone. 1 John was written in something like AD 100. The significance of that is we're now sort of two generations after Jesus' life on earth. That's important, isn't it? So the church is now quite well established. It's been going for a while. And what John is trying to do is to distill those messages that are key messages for the church. God is love. Of course, there are loads of other things we need to say about God. God is majestic and gracious. God is a God of justice. There are so many other things. But you won't get God. You won't understand who we're talking about unless you understand that God is love. And love is not just words, as that reading makes plain. God showed us his love by turning love into action, by sending Jesus into the world to be our Savior. All true love will always be converted into action. It's a wonderful word, love. But it's so capable of misunderstanding. We press this word into use in so many different situations, don't we? One moment we're talking about our relationship with ice cream. I love ice cream. Rum and raisin, if you're pastoral and want to remember that, you know. But I mean, I love ice cream. Then you're talking about your relationship with your family. I love my children. I love my wife. I thank God. You know that? Wow, we're into completely different territory there from ice cream, even though I really do like rum and raisin. I mean, and then we talk about our love relationship with God. It's most extraordinary, isn't it? One little word has to do all these jobs. As you all know, Greek is much better equipped. And there are four major words for love. One which is the love of friends and family, philia, eros, erotic love, love, sexual, physical love. Then there's storge, which is a word which speaks more of sort of faithfulness. And then the word that's used here, which is well known, agape. Now, agape is the significant thing about agape is that it's unlimited love. It's love that just goes on and nothing can bring it to an end. God's love for us is never conditional. He just loves us. It's just the way it is. You think, well, I don't think I want him to love me. There's nothing you can do about it. He loves you. I had a funeral service on Friday in which we celebrated those incredible words. 91-year-old, much to celebrate. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you feel that Paul's in a marketplace and people say, well, I'm sure this could separate us or that could separate us. He said, no, nothing in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's the love that we have, that we celebrate. What I want to do in the next few moments with you is just to explore what this means in terms of how we do church. If we affirm that God loves everyone, what we're saying is everybody matters to God. Everybody is significant. We live in a society which says that people are of different significance. We live in a society which says if you want to be acceptable, if you really want to get on, then you need a particular kind of body, you need a particular amount of money, and ideally you need to be young as well. You need all these things, and then you'll be acceptable. Recently, the Children's Society, a largely Anglican society, issued a report. I found this tragic. Among 10 to 15-year-old girls, the charity's report said 14% were unhappy with their lives as a whole. Isn't that awful? We're talking about 10 to 15-year-olds. 34% of them, more terrifyingly, 34% of these girls were unhappy with their appearance. What have we done as a society to condemn young people that so early in their lives are told they're not the right shape, they don't fit within the way we believe they should be? Friends, we want to say, you're loved by God. You're incredibly precious, whoever you are, whatever the shape of your body, whatever the nature of your disability, whatever the nature of your abilities, whoever you are loved by God. What is this going to mean for us as a church if we look out to this community, not distinguishing between people, oh, that's the kind of person I'd like to come to our church. No, but just say God loves, touches every kind of person. It's very easy, isn't it? To be selective, to say we will welcome people just so long as. When I went down to the Southwest, I remember being told this terrifying story. One of our excellent lay preachers was just going one morning to preach in a church in Cornwall, little church, village church. On the edge of the village, there were some new houses going up. New community had been established. He was really quite excited. Thought, well, this little, what an encouragement to this little chapel that here new people have moved into the community. And this excellent lay preacher went to speak to the church secretary and said, what are you going to do to reach out to the people who have moved in to those new houses? And the church secretary said, and can I just add, church secretaries are normally excellent. But the church secretary said, in this instance, we don't propose doing anything at all, she said, because the people who've moved into those new houses are nothing like us. Ouch. Thank God that church is now closed. It's closed, it's not there anymore. Praise God, what a result. Of course, it would be a better result, by far, if they could have changed their spots and actually understood what the gospel was about. That would have been great, but they couldn't do that. Those people are not like us. They were upmarket houses, and they didn't want to know that kind of person. They wouldn't fit into that village chapel. Now, that's a heavy word, but we can be guilty at times of creating a church of people like us, reaching out to people we feel comfortable with, but actually our calling is to reach out to everybody because God loves them. What does it mean to live a life in which the doors are open? I went to a church in the Isle of Wight a couple of years ago, and I just went for an anniversary. It's what I do. The person on the door greeting us, I wasn't there on a sort of disability ticket, yeah, I was just there. The person on the door greeting us had a learning disability, supported by somebody else. I didn't need to ask that church what their heart was. They'd already shown it to me when the offering was taken up. And I'm not saying this is what everybody's got to do. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is what happened that Sunday. The offering was taken up by somebody in a wheelchair, again, supported by somebody else. But what a statement that made about the life of that church, the integration that they were committed to. It's a big job. It's an exciting job, but it's all about seeking to be faithful to this word that God loves each one. We need to be continually on our toes, day by day, week by week on our toes, to make sure that we really are welcoming in the name of Jesus to the variety of people who would come. Let me speak for a moment specifically about people with a learning disability. Can I be a little bit narrow in my definition? I'm not talking about people with a learning difficulty. I'm not talking about people who have dyslexia. 10% of the population have dyslexia. I'm not talking about that because that's not an intellectual disability. People have fine intellects who struggle with dyslexia, and we will all know some. I'm talking about people who have intellectual disability. That's the 1 in 50, 1.5 million people. Some of those people will never use words. Those two in that original DVD we saw. So some with a learning disability will never use words. All will have a measure of struggling with words. So let's get the situation. I'm just posing you with a challenge. There will be many people with a learning disability who will just have a few dozen words, okay? I will have, and you will have, 20 to 30,000, a working vocabulary of 20 to 30,000 words. Don't start adding them up now. It will take ages. But that's a normal adult vocabulary will be 20 to 30,000 words. So what happens? We get going with our sermons and all of that, using our 20 to 30,000 words because they're comfortable there. That's what we do. What message are we sending to somebody with a learning disability who comes in with their 45 words? I'll tell you what the message is. You're not welcome. You've come to the wrong place. In fact, why did you bother to come at all? Because we're not relating to where they're at. It's a big challenge, isn't it? So the answer within Prospects has been to say we need to find other kinds of opportunities to meet together. Prospects ministry group is a beautiful experience. There will always be lots of singing. If there is praying, it will be incredibly participatory. There will always be food around. There will never be a sermon. I see you're liking it more and more. And it doesn't last very long. I mean, what's not to like? It's about saying to people with a learning disability, we're not going to trade with you in a way that's stupid. We're not going to use loads of words because that's just going to push you away. We're going to do things which you can relate to, which can draw you in, which will convey the message that God loves you, that you have a place within his body. I was at Upton Vale Torquay last month, and they have a group of people. It's a large church. They have a group of people with a learning disability that go out a alongside the children to their own group at the same time as the sermon, because the sermon isn't designed for them. That's their answer. I don't actually believe there are custom-made answers to all the, you know, every church has to go on its own journey, but the message is the same one. God is love. You are loved. That's what we want to say to everyone. You are loved. Secondly, you are unique. That when God says he loves us, he doesn't say, and now my plan for you is to squeeze you into this mold so that you'll come out looking exactly the same. That's not what God does. The whole point of salvation is that God has set us free, that we can be truly the people we were created to be more ourselves. That's what salvation is about. You look through the Bible and see the way in which that was worked out in practice in the life of somebody like Moses. We only have one person like Moses. What a person to use anyway. You know, from his strange background, privileged background, but then a murderer. But God uses this man to fulfill his purposes. He was unique. See the way in which God used somebody like Jonah, who often had bouts of depression. But God used him incredibly powerfully. Look at David. Look at David. You know, he was chosen in that remarkable way, didn't seem to be the most likely candidate, but God's choice, God saw his heart, God saw what he was dealing with. He goes off the rails, commits adultery, and you think, well, surely that would blow it. You know, that would be the end of that one. But no, God continues to use David. God brings him back to himself and uses David to fulfill his purposes. Do you hear what I'm saying? God uses individuals. God loves you. I don't know the story of your life, but I promise you, your life will have had twists and turns. There will have been some brilliant days, there will have been some ghastly days. Some things that have gone fantastically well, other things you think, let's not go there, let's just forget about that. God knows all that, and he loves you, and claims you in your uniqueness to be the person you are called to be. When we look at people with disabilities, God looks at them and wants them to be fulfilled in their uniqueness. For those who have no words, never had any words, never will have any words, just God wants them to be totally fulfilled, everything that they can be, as the people God has called them to be. Do you hear what I say? We're unique. Of course, that's one of the things that makes church life exhausting. Because there are many times when we reflect, wouldn't it be easier if other people were just like me? You know, there would be, we'd get through the business so much more quickly. But actually, we can only be the body of Christ by being unique and uniquely different. Okay? You're getting it. You are loved, whoever you are. And it's brilliant to share this message with you because I don't know the majority of you. As I look around the congregation, I see I know more of you than I realized at the beginning. But the majority of you I don't know. But whoever you are, whether you've been coming to this church all your life or whether you've turned up this Sunday for the first time or just been coming the last couple of weeks, these things are true of you. You're loved. You are unique. You're gifted. You are gifted. Whoever you are, you're gifted. The Bible is quite clear about this. There are three lists of gifts, actually, that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 12, in Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. What I love about those three lists is they're different. It's not, here's a regulation list of gifts and you've got to fit into one. No, no, no. God gives gifts to his people. And you have got them. Each one of you has a gift which is crucial for the building up of his body. Trouble is so often when we talk about gifts, we divide people up. We talk about, oh, they're a gifted pianist, as if there's some special imprimatur. We're all gifted people. Just look about everybody in the church. They're gifted. Gifted in encouraging. Gifted in being kind, gifted in being practical, gifted in being a good organizer, gifted in being great with children, gifted, whatever it is, we're gifted. God calls us to use our gifts. So how about people with disabilities? Let's claim it. They're gifted. I went to a wonderful service, one of our Prospects Ministry groups at Bucklebury, which is where Kate, Princess Kate, comes from. And it's held in the parish church there. And my good friend Andrew was leading the session. And he was going from this passage, you know, we're all gifted. Gifted by God. We've got spiritual gifts. And he said, Tamsin. Now, Tamsin, well, actually, all three of these have no words. Tamsin certainly doesn't speak, but she does hug. She hugs in a big way. And what happens is Tamsin all the time is sitting there like this, waiting for the next person she can unleash her hug on. You know, and they class this person and they get the love of God, whether they like it or not. But the thing about Tamsin is she's always looking at the door thinking, I think there's somebody else just about to come through. And that sort of anticipation. And really, she does contribute an enormous amount to the group through her welcome. And Andrew wisely said, Tamsin has been given by the Holy Spirit this very special gift of welcoming people. Then he referred to Anna. Anna's in her, I would judge, late teens, early 20s, beautiful, tall, elegant, no words, but music. And she spends the whole session going, la, 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 la. It doesn't stop. It just goes on like that the whole time. And he said, Anna brings to us this wonderful gift of music, which blesses us, and all the time it's there, believe me. And Anna brings that gift. And then there was, I think it's Pete, might have been Paul, but who just has this great smile. It's got quite a lot of gaps in it, but this big smile that he gives to everybody who comes. And he said, in that smile, we see the welcome of Christ to this gathering. I found that so deeply moving. Let's see the gifts in one another. Celebrate the gifts in one another. They're different from one another. I love 1 Corinthians 12. I think 1 Corinthians 12 is actually a very sophisticated passage. Not only does Paul deal with the sin of inferiority complexes, which is one of the biggest problems we have in the life of church. Oh, I don't have a gift. Oh, there's nothing I could do. Oh, I don't think I could contribute anything useful, you know, because I'm not a hand, because I'm not a foot. All these other people, they're very gifted. They can do it. God says, forget that. You have a gift. You have a gift that is crucial to the life of the church, whoever you are. He deals with inferiority complexes and superiority complexes. People say, well, I'm so special, I don't need you, and I certainly don't need your gift, thank you very much, but I don't need that gift. Paul says it's not true. Actually, the gifts which appear to be the least presentable, which are least on show, are actually the most crucial. All of us crucial within the body of Christ. So the challenge of the church is, how do you celebrate all these great gifts that God has generously given to you? The ones that are so different from your gifts that actually you do, if you're honest, struggle to think of them as gifts because they're not in the normal categories, but they are gifts from God because that's the nature of our generous God. Hear this, whoever you are loved. You are unique. You are gifted. And finally, you are loved to love. You are loved to love. So grateful for the family talk earlier. There's some great moments in that. That moment, that beautiful moment, having received the chocolate when they learnt it was to be given away. You know, I've seen disappointed children in my life, but you know. But that's it. As we receive the love of God, we are commissioned in that moment to share it with others. Of course, the whole children's talk is right. as you pass on that gift, so you receive more and more. But we are called to share our love with others. And the reality is, this picture of love, we all tempted to romanticize it and think of love. Oh yeah, love is about sitting quietly in a beautiful garden, or two people hugging out of love. When we read this book, it tells us that love took the shape of a cross. Love is painful. Love is costly. You don't come out of this with a sentimental picture of love which is all gooey. You come up with a clear impression that it will cost, and it will cost greatly. And I promise you that. I promise you that. As a church, and thank you for those lovely prayers earlier, as you go on this journey, which I know you're on, and want to go on more deeply, and bless you in that, I promise you, one, it is God's way, but also it will be costly. It will be demanding. It will mean that you have to lay aside things which are precious at the moment, to do things slightly differently. That's the language of love. That's the way it will be. Mother Teresa is so widely quoted in Baptist churches. You might have thought she was a Baptist, but she wasn't. She was a Catholic. And mind you, actually, you know, she's recently been made a saint. If she'd been in the Baptist church, she'd have been a saint for years. So, you know, it could have been a quick way through. But Mother Teresa said this. She says, love to be real, it must cost. It must hurt. It must empty us of self. I'll say it again. Love to be real, it must cost. It must hurt. It must empty us of self. Friends, this is a great message. God's message to us. We're loved, gifted, we're unique. We are loved to love. I think this is the most incredibly exciting journey. And when you know that God, in the power of his Holy Spirit, promises to be with us every step of the way, may it be through the life, the ministry of this church, people, whether they have great abilities or disabilities, everyone may come to understand that they are loved by God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your liberating word. And Lord, we take very seriously this commission to each one of us to be a people of love, to stand in the stream of your love and to pass that love on to those around us. Thank you for what you are teaching this church at this time. And I pray in the power of your Spirit, you will enable us, them to go forward boldly on this journey of love. In Jesus' name, amen.